हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 44. Vidura is satisfied by Maitreya's answers, which confirm that the soul's miseries are due only to his controlling propensity and connection with Maya. Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport to verse 16. A living entity's unlawful desire to become one with the Lord in every respect is the root cause of the entire material manifestation. For otherwise, the Lord has no need to create such a manifestation, even for his pastimes. So the unlawful desire to become one with the Lord in every respect, there has to be in some respects, because otherwise how do you have a relationship? Right? There must be some common aspects. But in every respect, you know, that one is the Lord, one is the Supreme Controller and Enjoyer, that's then where the problem comes. If it's less than that, then it's not a problem, right? It's just for the relationship, because there has to be some common ground, right? So that's the cause of material, the root cause of material manifestation, right? Both means, for the living entity, means that karana sharir is what is the cause of our material existence. And at the same time is that that's why material manifestation is here, because if the living entity didn't have the desire to lord it over material nature, there would be no material manifestation. The Prabhupada points out that there is no need of such a manifestation even for his pastimes, the Lord, because in his pastimes, what does he need to perform pastimes in an imperfect place?
Yes.
Right? Where, you know, imperfect results and imperfect everything comes.
Yes.
Right? He already has a perfect place. So it's not necessary. So the only reason it's there is because of the living entity's desire to lord it over material energy.
Yes.
Right? That's the reason.
Karana Sharia.
Yes, because we want to be the controller and enjoyer,
yes.
Therefore that's there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's not that the material world will be here anyway, the Lord's having his pastimes, and then the living entities who are conditioned can be part of it. No, he wouldn't have it at all. It just
yes.
wouldn't be there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that means actually the living entity is the main cause of the creation of the material world.
No, it's not the main cause. You can say he's the cause.
But without his desire, then this world cannot be manifested.
But that's Jaimini. That's Jaimini's philosophy. Unless I have the desire, then how does God fulfill my desire?
Yeah.
But so who's the controller, us or God?
God.
It's just like this. Let us say you have a couple, right? They're living in their house. Okay? What's in their house? Right? Nice furniture, nice clothes, nice kitchen, nice this, nice that. Are there any diapers? Are there any baby carriages? Are there, you know, all this kind of jazz? No, because there's no baby. Okay, now when there's a baby, are all those things there? Yes? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, who arranged all that? The parents or the baby?
The parents.
Okay, so then, but the reason for it is the baby. So who's actually, so you can say the root cause is the baby, but the actual efficient cause is the Lord. Right? Because we have to be very careful that we don't hold on to our mood that we're the controller and enjoyer. Because otherwise, it's, well, unless I do it, how do, you know, then how can God make the material manifestation? Unless the material manifestation, then that's for me to enjoy. So I'm the controller and enjoyer. I control God. He arranges my enjoyment. In other words, there's four factors in causation. So just because the living entity is involved in the operational cause, that doesn't mean he has anything to do with the other three. And the other three are the powerful ones. Right? Like that. You know, the Lord and Master of all he sees walks up to his blender. He pushes the button. It goes on. See his mastery. See his lordship. See his power. Right? But will that go on unless the government has generators and electric lines and, you know, all the boxes and your electric bill and everything like that? You know, what about manufacturing the blender? You know, all we do is push the button, we think that we're the Lord of all we survey, right? You know, but we didn't make the vegetables or fruits that we put in that blender. We didn't make the blender itself. We don't make the electricity. We didn't even probably build the house, you know, that the counter is in, that blender's sitting on. And we definitely didn't make the view out the window. Yes, we push. The finger of authority.
Yes, the final touch.
Yes, the final touch. The final touch is when we didn't put the top on properly and it flips off. We have to clean the ceiling. And that's the final touch. Okay, yeah. Just checking that they cleaned after last time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have to understand. So the point is this discrimination. Now, why do we come up with this? Because this has been coming up now. That's one of the topics. Why is this mentality there? Because that's what we want to think. We want to think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So all this philosophy is there. And so where do we find in our perspective faults or weaknesses? Wherever it doesn't support, I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that.
Like Buddhists say that the world comes from ignorance.
Yes, but where did the ignorance come from?
From the living entity. I
mean. Yeah, but the living entity comes from ignorance, but ignorance comes from the living entity. So there's got to be a start somewhere. This isn't a question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. You know, where did the chicken and the egg come from? You know what I'm saying? So this is the difficulty in the philosophy. Up to that point, it sounds pretty good. But at that point, it falls apart. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that there's a source to this. So the original cause, that's the Lord. The formal cause is his internal potency. Right? Then, in the external, then we're the operational, because we're the one that pushes the button. And then there's the material cause that actually transforms. So all we have is desire. And therefore we're involved. So we can have desire as the Lord and Master, or desire as the servant. That's the point. If it's as servant, then we're working under internal potency. If we're a Lord and Master, we're working under external potency. Is that
right?
The conditioned soul, under the spell of the external energy of the Lord, falsely suffers many unfortunate incidents in material life. The Lord is the predominator of the external, but it's based on our desire. So if you really want to know what comes from our desire, it's this, many unfortunate incidents in material life. that we can take full responsibility for. But everything else, we kind of have to give it up to the Lord and his energies. The Lord is the predominator of the external energy, Maya, whereas the living entity is the predominated by the same Maya under the material condition. Yeah. The false attempt of the living entity to occupy the predominating post of the Lord is the cause of his material bondage. And the conditioned soul's attempt to become one with the Lord is the last snare of Maya. So he wants to occupy the position, that's what gets him into the material world. And then the final thing that when he thinks he's come to the pinnacle, that makes sure he comes back is that he thinks he's become God. Right? So that's just how you really think he's, make him. You understand? So you have both ends of the spectrum there. That he wants to enjoy like God, control, and then he wants to be God.
Yes.
So these are the two ends of the spectrum of Maya, and then everything in between.
Yes.
In verse 17. Yes, so as soon as the living entity switches this, that I'm servant, then he's no more than actually the predominated by the external energy. He still works within the laws of it. But now he's working under the internal potency. Right?
Yes.
In some sense, yeah. And then one, yeah. The next verse, 17, spoken by Vidura, is an often quoted verse and is appearing here as a prelude to his purification. Quote, both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness, whereas persons between them suffer the material pangs. 17, Srila Prabhupada explains, persons who are neither like hogs and dogs, nor on the level of Paramahamsas, feel the material pangs. And for them, inquiry about the supreme truth is necessary. Right? Because the Paramahamsas are already inquiring, so it's not necessary that they have to, because they're already doing it. And those who act like hogs and dogs, it's not an interest at all. So there's no question that they'll, you know, that it means anything to them. The Vedanta Sutra states, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now one should inquire about Brahman. This inquiry is necessary for those who are in between the Paramahamsas and the fools, who have forgotten the question of self-realization in the midst of life and sense gratification. Right? So that's the necessary point. What is actually going on?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, in other words, if you're not suffering material pains, then you're either a Paramahamsa or a, you know, hog, dog, camel, or ass. There's a good chance you wouldn't be sitting here. So then that leaves the either Paramahamsas or in between.
Yes. Yes.
So for Paramahamsas, then we like hearing about this transcendental subject matter because of it's so tasty, like that. And if we're in between, we need to hear about it, you know, because then that solves the problem of life. And then we will come to the point where we will taste like the Paramahamsa. So, you know, everybody knows which category they fit into, so we will not get into details and cause any unnecessary embarrassments, you know, revealing your Paramahamsa position or anything like that.
Thank you.
Yes. In his commentary on the same verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the position of those who, despite of inquiring from authority, still keep their doubts. One who is the most foolish, like an animal, whose intelligence is engaged in enjoying material objects and ignoring the suffering, right? Because you have to ignore the suffering.
Yes.
Right? And another person who has achieved the Supreme Lord, who is beyond matter. These two persons increase happiness by deriving bliss from either material objects or the Lord, without suffering. He who desires to reject the material world by examining the suffering cannot accomplish this without attaining bhakti. He who is in between these two suffers in the ocean of doubt by not having either type of bliss. Right? So, in other words, he's not a gross materialist where he just, despite the obstacles, doesn't notice them and goes on happily. Life is beautiful, right? Or he's not a Paramahamsa that is fully absorbed, right? So then you have the person in between should inquire, and by that, then they are able to progress. But now if they're in between and they doubt the transcendental platform and the process of bhakti,
yes.
Then that's the most difficult, because there's no way out and they are suffering.
Yes.
So that's the most difficult position.
What should they do?
They should eat plenty of prasad. And then hopefully they get purified and all their doubts will be removed.
Well, they might become Mayavadis or impersonalists.
Yes, and so therefore they what do you call it? Entrench themselves in this difficult situation. So they are aware of the suffering, and they have no way to get out of it.
Trying to dig their way out of the hole.
Yes, yes.
But they think they are out of that.
Sorry?
They think they are liberated. If, I mean, they're,
yeah, so, but you can think whatever you want. Right? You know. I say, it's like you have the saying, talk is cheap, so intellectualization is cheap. You know. So what? The guy says he's God and he gets run over by a truck. You know, so how does this work? You know. Headlines, God run over by truck. You know.
God died from cancer.
Hmm?
God died from cancer.
Yeah, like that. You know. So, like that. You understand? So, it's just, it's not. The Vishwanath Chakravarti's pointing out is the Paramahamsa and the Muddha, they're not suffering. One is actually not suffering because they don't notice the material energy isn't important to them. So they only see the spiritual. So even if difficult situations are difficult, it's not a problem because they're absorbed in the Lord. For the Muddha, he's absorbed in material, sense gratification. So even though it's difficult, he doesn't notice the difficulty. It's well worth the benefit in his mind. Right? You know, an ocean of work, one drop of pleasure, hey, it balances out.
Right.
Yeah, I see like that. Is it the famous thing that the nun said? Eternal damnation and one night with Casanova. Sounds fair. You know, it was worth it. Okay, yeah. So this is, so you have that group, right? Then you have in between. Now in between, by taking up the devotional process, then they can get out. They can come to the Paramahamsa platform. So there is progress. But the person who does not see bhakti as the answer, they'll go on suffering. Just because you say I'm not suffering doesn't mean that you're not. Like that.
Yes.
You know, it's like the lady. She's in her super tight dress, her super high heels. You know, she can't breathe, she can't walk, and at the party, and you ask her, how's she doing? Oh, fine. Like that, so she's great, yeah. So that's that's what we're talking about. Okay. Yes? No? Okay. Yes.
Can we say that when you say about doubts here, it's more like misgiving?
I would look at it from the element. There's probably the misgiving element, but it's just it keeps one from taking up bhakti. In any case, it doesn't make sense. Oh, so you just leave it, or there's serious misgivings. But in either case, you don't take up the devotional process as a solution. Does that make sense? Either one, because it doesn't get that deep. They hear about it. Oh, that. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to them, or it doesn't click, and so they don't take it up. Well, others then, as soon as they hear about it, no, this is not right. So that's the problem. So when we're dealing in mixed devotional service, means that we have that faith in bhakti, we're practicing it, so we're progressing. But at the same time, there's the doubts and misgivings that come up just from material conditioning. And because of that, then we don't progress as quickly as we could. So as those go, then progression gets faster. Is that a sentence? Next, Vidura glorifies the process of inquiring from and serving a spiritual master. We didn't do the footnote. Where is the footnote? Oh, it's at the end of the thing. Okay. Footnote 8. As the Lord asserts in the Bhagavad Gita 4:40, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Because you have to put your faith in something to get somewhere. You know, so that's the whole thing. Do something, right? You know, doing something's better than doing nothing, because at least if you're doing something, you can make an adjustment and improve it. But if you're doing nothing, you can't improve the situation. That's why it said the man in the mode of passion is better than the man in the mode of ignorance. So even though he's doing something that's not right, it's better than doing nothing. Right? Because from the mode of passion, he's doing things that get results, but his moot mentality in getting results is wrong. So now if we adjust his mentality, he has a service attitude. He's dynamic. He makes endeavor.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But the doubting person, then there's always a chance to go on doubting. If you clear the doubts and they move up to the point where they become active, then it's progressive. Mm-hmm. But if the doubts remain, you know. Mm-hmm.
If someone is like really having trouble with etiquette and making offenses left, right, and center, usually you try and remove them from the association of devotees just for not making too many offenses. So
the thing is, they're active. Oh, you're saying because they're active. But you remove them from that situation, put them in a situation they can handle. So the idea is that in training, you deal in training on the level that you can deal with. Right, so if in one situation it's too developed for your ability, then you function in a situation that's less developed. But just like you take the brahmachari, he is in a social situation, but he's not really developing there. You take him out of that situation, put him in the ashram. Then in that situation, he doesn't have to deal with such a volume of social. And in that, then the intelligence can get the upper hand, so that they can start to see how to deal, what's the thing, what's the way to see. Then when they become mature in that, then they can function again in the social environment without becoming distracted. Right? Does that make sense? They can maintain their spiritual view, they can be active, getting proper results, but not get disturbed. Does that make sense? So that's always there. You know, it's just like someone wants to play the piano, right? They start off with something very simple, right? You don't start off with Flight of the Bumblebee, right? You know, like that.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Yeah.
Is that
yes.
Right? Yeah. Next, Vidura glorifies. That's why we're going through the Bhagavatam, removing all doubts from any angle that there can be.
Yes.
Right? Because we hear something, we're so convinced, and yeah, it's so clear, and then we come to the next point. No, what about, you know, yeah, then that becomes cleared, and that, and okay, now great, and then we go to the next. So we see there's plenty of points, is that when we quote from Jiva Goswami, you know, in Bhakti Sundarbha Anucheda 179.
Yes.
So Anucheda is one point. It's one... what do you call it? No. It's your thesis, right? So it's one complete philosophical point. You know, there's a progression of them, but so there's hundreds or thousands of points, only because we have thousands of doubts, right? If we hear about Krishna and we immediately surrender, then you don't need all those thousands of doubts to be cleared. But because we haven't, so there's some doubt somewhere. So some have doubts here, some there. But you add them all together and you have all the points Jiva Goswami deals with.
Yes.
Right? We may only have, you know, a small portion of them.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to give any numbers here.
Okay.
But the point is all those are addressed. So we don't. That's why we go through some point. And, you know, somebody sits and, yeah, fine. But I say, oh, no, but what about... And then the next time we go to the next point, and then it reverses.
Yeah.
You know. Is that...
Yeah.
Can we say the doubts?
Yeah.
No. Okay. It's lack of sukriti.
Doubt is lack of sukriti. On one level you can say, but it's just a matter of the either karma or jnana or bhakti sukriti hasn't been developed in that way.
My point is the more we develop our service, etc., then...
The less doubts, yes. But it doesn't mean that if there's an address, a doubt that hasn't been addressed, that it doesn't therefore become more prominent. Let's say if you have 100 doubts, right? Now, unless we have quote unquote issues, right, then they're, you know, each one's kind of similar to the other. You know, they're a melange of, you know, nice, you know, doubts, right? And then if one or two of them are prominent, you know, then we have issues, you know. You know, some conversation comes up, we touch a particular, you know, word, you know, category of words. And then, you know, the person, oh, but, you know, this and that, and everybody else, I told you don't say that. You know, like that, don't bring that up. And then everybody has to sit there until they calm down and all that. But if we're not dealing with that, by the devotional process, so many will just naturally go away, right? Because they're not very deep. Some we will have to address, and then they'll go away. And some will remain as they need serious addressing. So it may appear that, oh, now all these things are growing as such a major thing. All it is that it becomes more prominent simply because there's less of anything else. Yeah, it's a good thing. But we think that it's the volume's great, and then we might doubt the process. Because, oh, this is getting so big, this was never here before. It was always there before. You just didn't notice because there was 100 things to notice. You know, it's like you walk into the house, and there's a million things out of place in the house. So what do you notice? Huh? Yeah, well, that's there. But let's say you don't really notice the mess. But, you know, let's say, you know, there's a pair of shoes on the sofa. Okay, so you might notice that and throw them on the floor. Not that you'll put them next to the door, or they, you know, they're just somehow or another there, right? You know, because it's uncomfortable. If they were the other end of the couch, they might stay there. You know, does that make sense? But everything else is a mess, right? Now, so when you walk in and one thing's out of place, it's, you know, like, how did these get here? And that's it, right? Now, let's say you have somebody's house that's perfect. Everything's got a place, everything's in its place and all that, and then I put those shoes on the couch. You have a meltdown here. You know, how are these shoes? Who did they? You know, like this, it's a whole thing. You know, it's going to be on their Facebook, they're going to be texting their friends, you know, the husband's not going to hear the end of this. It's just going to go on and on and on. Okay, but it's no. There's, it means it's the same shoes on the same. Well, it's not exactly the same shoes on the same sofa, but the principle is the same. Yes. Yeah. Difference between $10 shoes on a, you know, $200 couch and $1,000 shoes on a, you know, $5,000 couch. Yeah. So, but the principle is the same. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, the doubts are going away, but you have to address until they're gone. But it'll appear they're so big. That's also how, even though it's very minor, but because there's nothing else and you're focused on that, then it becomes major. Does that make sense? So, then, this also helps address the evening class, yeah, the evening doubts, that how is it Prahlad Maharaj can say all these things about himself or Shiva or that, because even though it's not really a problem, they perceive it as one, even though everybody else would say that's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Is that make sense? You know, yeah. You know, it's like you sit down, you pick up, you get your plate, you put it down, you know, and then you notice that there's a spot on it. You know, some will just, you know, kind of brush it off and then go on with the eating process. Others, you know, who knows what it is, and so then they'll take it, wash it, and this and that. It's in a whole scene. Why aren't the plates being washed properly and all that? Let's have an investigation, and you find out you're the plate washer. Okay, so then, you know, does that make sense? So it's seen as something big, when in actuality, it's quite minor. So their devotee, then we'll see it as a major thing. Because if you're talking about pure devotional service, then even a speck of materialism is still a speck of materialism. So compared to, you know, how great the purity is, that small amount is very great. But compared to someone else, that's nothing.
And to deal with that, first you just know that it's the question it's the symptom of progression, like dynamic.
Yes, yes. Like Prabhupada says, you have a little pond. It's clear. Now what happens when you start to clean it? All the dirt that's on the bottom comes up and the water's murky. And where did this come from? It was never like that before. There's something wrong in the process. It was very nice and clean before. It never was clean. So that's the thing. Right? It wasn't clean, but we think it's clean. It's just that all the materialism settles, right? You know, materialism is quite comfortable. It just settles in. But as soon as you go to clean, then it all comes up. Does that make sense? You know, yeah.
Maharaj, there is no doubt when there is an alloyed pure devotional service.
Yes, no, there's no doubt. That's the thing. So when you get to pure devotional service, the doubts are cleared. Like that. So that's the, yes.
How about priorities?
Priorities.
Yes. Mother Yashoda, the milk boils over and she puts Krishna's aside for the milk. So, you know, is that a subtle form of doubting or?
No, no. It's just in the pastimes. Because the point is who's the milk for?
For Krishna.
Yeah, so she's serving Krishna now, so she stops that to go like that so that later the service can go on also. Because she can go back and serve him again.
Yes.
Continue. But for the pastime, then Krishna gets angry.
Yes. We have things that are connected and things that are not connected. And so a pure devotee would have things that are more connected and less connected.
And it means when you say more connected and less connected, you're talking from the philosophical point that Krishna is everything, so it is connected whether we understand it or not.
Well,
like that. So even for the gross materialist, everything's connected to Krishna,
well,
just they don't know it.
Yeah, you could say. That was not the point I was trying to make.
Oh, no, but it means it puts it in a better light. Yeah, everything's
yeah, it's all from
us. So have you connected all your life to Krishna? It's always connected to Krishna,
of
course. Yes.
Totally connected.
Yeah.
But connected in a more personal way or in a more like Mother Yashoda.
Means direct and indirect.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole point is how do you express personal?
Through the
indirect. Yes, because the point is how does Mother Yashoda express her parental love unless she has a form that expresses it and Krishna has a form?
Yes.
Okay, and now the two of them have a form. Now, where are they going to interact? You know, just floating in space?
No.
But so therefore, you have to have at least space to float in. You have to have the principle of the ability to float, to be floating in space. So therefore, you need a place. You need all the paraphernalia. Now, what does parental rasa mean? How do you express it? So there's certain things you express it. So you need that paraphernalia. Is that something that makes sense? So on the spiritual platform, they're non-different. Right? There's a difference, but they're non-different. But on the material platform, there's a difference because we don't see them connected to the Lord. The primary is not there, therefore then the secondary. It's a major fault because we don't see that connection. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So we only point it out so we can see the difference. But ultimately, it's about, so even on the spiritual platform, we want to make sure that we're not just looking at secondary. Because otherwise we'll think, yes, if we do this or do that, then that's perfect. It's not about that, it's about the so the point is when one meditates on the devotees of the Lord who are rendering service to the Lord, and so we're able to meditate on their secondary activities. Right, but by associating with them in this way, we're purified, so that we gradually come to the point we can appreciate the primary, which is their love for Krishna.
Yes.
But in the beginning, it's not so. That's the love of Mother Yashoda. She does this. She does that. You know, she churns butter in the morning. She, you know, makes arrangements for Krishna. She bathes him. She dresses him. She feeds him. So we'll see these, but these are the media through which she expresses the love. So therefore, they're non-different.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is that what it says? Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, people have things that have sentimental value. Right? So that's the thing. It itself isn't necessarily specifically a value, but it reminds one of some particular relationship or some aspect of a relationship.
Yes.
So that's why then it's important. Does that make sense? So it's non-different.
distinction is only for fun.
Yes, distinction is for variety. So then you can taste. In other words, you're dealing with an unlimited level that's tasted in unlimited different ways. You know, so that's good. While here it's a limited amount of taste in a limited amount of ways for a limited amount of time.
Yes.
So that's the difficulty here.
Sometimes you don't even get that.
That's there, but you know, you don't want to talk about it too much. People get depressed. That's why when you talk about the you talk about the Krishna consciousness, how it's there, but then the material world doesn't have that.
Yes.
Rather than just you know one of these hell's fire and brimstone, you know, the end of the world, you know, like that. Walking around with your placard and
some get some taste out of that.
They get taste, you know, but so they're depressed and they want to make sure everybody else is.
Different kind of taste.
Yes. But my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. Right. So what we're meaning here is this connection to the Lord. We're not talking about the Mayavadi where it's illusion, it doesn't exist. We're saying it exists, but there's no substance. So reality is substance or non-substance, not existence or non-existence.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So the Mayavadi is making the mistake that it's not real. But they don't know how to look at real. What's real? Real is substance, not existence.
Yes.
Existence exists.
Yes.
So that's not the question. That you're there to contemplate, right, means there's existence. So that's not the question. The question is there substance?
Yes.
Right? Because the point is if existence isn't important, why worry about it?
Yes.
You know, if I don't exist, why would I worry that I seemingly think I exist? Because I don't exist. So what's the problem? And even if there's suffering, there's no existence of the suffering either. So what's the problem? Why all this trip? Because people are suffering that I have to understand my non-existence. And that'll end the suffering. But if the suffering doesn't exist, what's the problem? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, you know, you have to make something a problem, otherwise people aren't satisfied.
Yes.
You know, if everything's nice, then there's a problem.
So
if there's something wrong, then, you know, the problem is there's problems.
The problem is there's no problems.
Yeah, the problem is there's no problems. Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's what we have to do. It's just like, it's real, but it's a reflection. Reflection doesn't have substance. Reflection's real, but there's no substance in a reflection.
Yes.
Right? You have a banana. In the mirror, there's a banana. But you can't get any benefit from the banana in the mirror. There's no substance to it, but it exists.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the thing. That's where you have to be able to discriminate. So they have intelligence. They have an understanding that spiritual is different from material, but they don't have the knowledge at what it is,
yes.
Right? So one can say is that, no, but they're very intelligent, but they're applying their intelligence in the wrong way.
Yes.
You know? It's just like, let's say I'm taking I have a bucket of mud, and I have a, you know, big, long, like a serving spoon, and I'm taking this bucket of mud, and I'm in different ways flipping it onto the ceiling, right? And I'm, in doing this, and I'm using my intelligence, I'm coming up with all amazing ways how to flip it and get it on the ceiling to stick. But my point is that by doing this, I'll find the cure for cancer. Okay? So, we can't say he's not intelligent, we can't say the work he's doing doesn't show symptoms of intelligence, but the connection to what his goal is wrong. Right? So, the impersonalist, then, this idea is that they understand that they're the soul. They don't belong in the material world. All that's good. Right? And that there's nothing here for the living entity, and on the spiritual platform there is. This is all good. But their concept of what is the supreme and their methods, how they're going to get it, that's misapplied. So no matter how intelligent they are, they're never going to get to the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? Right? I want to know how hot it is outside, so I look at the barometer. It's not going to work. You know, and I can come up with all kinds of philosophies how from the barometer I can tell everything. Right? In fact, from the barometer, it'll even tell me what color clothes you're wearing. And I got theories that, you know, when the barometer goes to here, it affects the mind, and so therefore people get into this state, so they wear these colors, and, you know, they must see this temperature, and that, then it goes together, and that, oh, but he's wearing, it's that thing, but he's wearing a different color, so then what's the thing, is that, you know, oh, because the clouds, okay, so the clouds, and you understand, they go on and on and on and on, trying to make their theory work. So, very intelligent, but misapplied. So that's all these paths of yawn. Very intelligent. We're not saying they're not intelligent. We're not saying that the scientists, the academics, the philosophers are not intelligent. We're just saying it's misapplied. So that misapplication, you can't get the results because they're using the wrong methods. That's all. So therefore, we can say that is foolish. We're not saying that they themselves are not have brains. We're just saying it's foolish to not use the proper tool to get for the proper work. Right? So Vaishnava Vedanta, that will get the answers to everything that all of them are looking for. Any other process will only get some answers. It can't get all answers. That's... Is that something? Yes. Yes.
So this misapplication is coming from ignorance or doubts?
Yes, it's coming from ignorance or doubts. Then the problem is, where's the ignorance coming from? Right? But the ignorance is one of the potencies of the Lord. Is that... In other words, the fundamental point of knowledge is the relationship between ourselves and the Lord, the sambandhagyan. Based on that, everything else develops, right? From sambandhagyan, then you get abhideya, then you get prayojana. But if the sambandhagyan is wrong, that means your abhideya won't give the effect and you won't get the right results. So that's the whole thing. When that's correct, then it'll all work. Yes.
How would you define substance?
Substance. That there is, how do you say? Tangible benefit can be gained from whatever it is that you're applying the question to. Does that make sense? Like a block of wood, okay? Now you're hungry. Is that substance? It is. So how would you what would be your particular approach to preparing this block of wood for dinner?
For me, it's not, but for another.
Okay, you understand? So for you it's not, therefore. Does that make sense? Yeah. What about horseshoes? You get a horseshoe and you're going to go out and walk on the street. So do you put on a pair of horseshoes before going out? No. Right? So in other words, I mean, if you go out of your house sitting on your horse, you already have the horse inside, you get on and then you go out from there. You know, like the knights would have because they wear their armor, they couldn't get up on the horse, so they have these platforms and walk on that, get on the horse, then go out. Otherwise, they'd fall off, right?
So it's relative.
Yes, it's within the material platform, it's relative. But when you're talking about the soul, then what's the substance of the soul? Right? So spiritual. And spiritual means that situation, but more important means the connection to the Lord. Right? Because if we're Brahman, but who's Brahman connected to? Who's the source of Brahman? Krishna. Right? So therefore, substance means its connection to Krishna. Then all the other relative, you know, truths in substance, those become actual substance because of the connection to the Lord. Does that make sense? But without connection to the Lord, they're only relative substances. And then everybody has a different opinion on what is, you know, substance. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why this is the only universal principle. All these other platitudes of social idealism are not universal, because everybody does not think that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, does the rich person see everybody as equal? In general? No. What about the poor person? No. It's only one in the middle doesn't. They see everybody as equal. The poor people doesn't say we're all equal, because he's got money, I don't. You know, and the rich person says everybody's not equal because I got money and he doesn't. Right? It's only in the middle. No, no, it's not about money. It's this, you know, it's not the cha-ching. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. You know? Get it? You know, so. Yeah? Okay. Yes? Okay. Okay. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Right? Now, why bring up the point of he's unchangeable? What are advantages here?
You can rely on him.
You can rely on him. Because if he's unchangeable, you know that whatever is there, he's always going to be like that. He's not going to change on you. Today he's like this, and then tomorrow he changed. You know, why? He felt like it. You know? So, you know, that's not good enough, right?
What is the variety?
Unchangeable, that's his energy. Therefore, the importance of energy. Because the point is, can energy be satisfied if everything's changing? Right? It means, in other words, you're changing detail, but can you change the substance?
No.
So that's the whole point. So therefore, Krishna is the substance. He doesn't change. And then the energy is the variety, which is always changing.
So it's an addition.
Yes. Right. Do you understand? It depends on which way you're looking at it. It's an addition. From the energy, then you would say you add the energetic, it's just an addition. Right? Then it makes everything stable. Right? That's from here, yes. And from there, see. But the whole point is, it's that the two are non-different. So one doesn't function without the other. It means, in other words, in the one, because there's stability, naturally then there's a satisfaction. But you don't have that increasing happiness. Right? That's by adding energy. And energy can't be satisfied if there's no substance, if there's no stability. Because, you know, variety is only interesting within a context of stability. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you know, today you're you know, really rich, so then, you know, that's there. But for variety, tomorrow the husband comes home and says, stock market crashed, then we don't own anything. You know, like that, you know, because it's all bought on credit. So, and then the next day is, no, we have a little bit of money. You know, oh, we're poor again. Oh, we're really rich again. Oh, we're so rich, you can't even believe how rich we are. So, is that kind of variety is not the kind you're looking for. Right? You're looking for a stable, you know, stinking, filthy rich, right? You know, we're looking for that kind of position. Right? So Krishna is that, right? He has all opulence. You're not going to get anyone richer than him, right? More wealthy, more beautiful, more knowledgeable, more renounced, more anything. So therefore, now that is the stable person you can count on. Okay? So that's what we're dealing with. So he's unchangeable. Right? So then you can count on him on all platforms. The physical platform, the emotional platform, intellectual platform, the platform of a spirit. Mm-hmm. So all these are there. Therefore, if you can't have doubt in the Shastra, because the Shastra explains all this. If you have doubt in the Shastra, then you're bringing in instability. And if there's instability, there won't be satisfaction. Therefore, someone who doesn't accept the Vedas and practices them under the direction of the spiritual master cannot be satisfied. It's just the way it is. Yes.
Why did we do the man demon, the enemy of the man demon?
Because he's a person. It's a nice pastime. No? Yeah, you bring up something. Because it's a direct name. Instead of, because otherwise he's bringing out how he's supreme, he's unchangeable. These are all his secondary names. So you have to throw in a primary name just to give us a taste, otherwise. How you say, a shot of Tabasco. And, you know, something gives them taste, you know, like that. Otherwise it's just plain old juice, right? You know, something. Right? So.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
On your holover, maybe?
Sure.
Give us a kick. But at the same time, as what is Madhu? Madhu is mental demons, so therefore doubts. So by Madhusudan, he removes all doubts. So then we can become properly fixed. So, does that work? Okay, so here is that serving the spiritual master. So it's not directly the Lord, it's through the spiritual master, through the devotees. That's why it's always in the association of devotees. That's where we get benefit. Does that make sense? That's the benefit. Otherwise, it's just not enough.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of God, Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Right? Because austerity means you're able to perform your duties. So that means you have basically the mental focus, the physical ability to do your duties. That means not physical, meaning that, yeah, because your duties would fit within your physical, but you're willing to go through the difficulties that physically come up. In other words, the physical, emotional, physical, and intellectual challenges that come up into performance of your duty. That's austerity. Right? So therefore, you can continue doing that. Does that make sense? That's why it's called austerity. Doing your duties is called austerity. That's why in the Western context, the concept of doing duties is something that has a bad connotation.
Yes.
That just means, oh, it's something you do, there's no emotions, no feelings,
yes.
Where's the real me?
Yes.
You know, does that make sense? Because
yes.
Substance means emotions, in this case.
Yes.
But they don't understand that real substance means emotions connected to the Lord.
Why
do
you bring this one also in this conversation?
Because how else, if you don't have that austerity, then how can you attain the service of the pure devotees? It means by serving this lotus feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of Godhead. Right? Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees. Does that make sense? So in other words, the actual benefit is serving the devotees. But those who are meager in austerity, they can hardly get that chance. Because what's the benefit that you get from the spiritual master? Okay, that's the result, but what do you get to... Okay, so then there's a process. To do that process, what do you require? And what's in between that process and the spiritual master?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, right? The Sambandhigyan. So from the spiritual master, we get the proper knowledge how to perform devotional activities so we can go back to Godhead. So that means if we get the knowledge, we have to apply it. Getting knowledge and applying it means there must be austerity, there must be duties. So if we're not austere, we're not inclined to perform our duties, then the difficulty comes up is that we will have a problem on, how you say? Yes, we will have a problem. Applying ourselves, right? Because we won't want to intellectually hear it, we won't want to contemplate it, we won't want to practice it, and because of that, then there'll be some weakness. Does that make sense?
It means no realization. There's no austerity.
There can't be realization. Because if realization comes from contemplation and practice, which means we have to have heard. So if we're not willing to apply ourselves to a particular thing, just like, let's say, you go to the doctor, he'll give you a particular medical regime to follow. You follow it, you get benefit. You don't, you won't. You know, so anything, exercise, work, you know, even recreation, right? You know, the ball's on that side, you run over there, you hit it. Now they've hit it that side, you run over there and hit it. If you run over here and hit it and then it goes there, you just watch. You know, the first time the other guy will go, wow, great, yeah, you know, I got you there. But if you do it every time, it's no fun. It's just they don't. You know, why hit it over there? Because he's not going to hit it back. So then they got to hit it to where you are. Right? You know, so who's now having to do duty? The other guy. He wants to play ball. He has to hit it to where you are because you're not about to, you know, stretch your arm and make any endeavor. Does that make sense? So yeah.
Sounds like me playing with a ball.
Okay.
I don't think that's a role, but
Okay. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities. Okay, so glorifying the Lord, and then his position is the Lord of the demigods and controller of all living entities. So, again, it brings it back to his supreme position so that we don't... Because at this point, we can't afford to get too relaxed. Because you have to have a relationship to be relaxed and it works. Right? Just like, say, you're in a formal situation. Somebody you've never seen before, never met. And they come up to you and interact in a very informal way. It's not comfortable, right? Because there's no relationship. But now, that if it's formal and all that, then with progression, with time, if there's that informality, that's more taste. Even though it's in a formal environment, there's always those little bits of informality and that, you know, you notice that no one else notices it. So that's fun, right? So we're not at a stage where we have that concept. We have the concept of relationship, but actually functioning in it. So we always have to bring back and remember he is the Lord. Because otherwise, if he's not the Lord, we wouldn't be worried about him. Because right now we're worried about our own life, right? And it's not going well. Why not? Because someone else is in control. We're not in control. Ooh, big shock. Right? You know, like that. Then, okay, he's in control, we're not in control, but, you know, I'm in control here. No, but I'm in control here. No, not at that. What about here? You know, like that. I came back with a new list of 100, you know, aren't I in control here? You know, so, like that, it goes on. And then we start seeing he's in control. Okay, and that real happiness is relationship with him functioning in that. Okay, good. Why? Because he's the supreme. So it has to go until there's a relationship. When that's established, then that's not what's important anymore. Then it's just about the relationship. Is that something? Okay, continuing in 45. Although the service of the pure devotees is easy in theory, in practice it requires constant good association, as described below by Srila Prabhupada in his purports to verses 19 through 20. The association of a bona fide spiritual master like the sage Maitreya can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment to the direct service of the Lord, because you become like those who you associate with. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the suffering of his pure devotee. Like that. This system of association has been recommended since time immemorial. But in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it is especially recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if one has no assets of favorable austerity, if he nevertheless takes shelter of the Mahatmas who are engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, he is sure to make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. So it's not that this process is there in the other ages. So there would always be this point of association, but it might be having associated even one time. They would take it so seriously that they could take advantage of that association through the rest of their life. So in that way, they could maintain the association.
Yes.
But Lord Chaitanya especially recommends it in this age because we forget so quickly. So we constantly have to try to be in regular association, because then that will remind us, right? And then we, you know, want to have that attachment to the direct service of the Lord. Otherwise, then we forget and we start doing other things. We get distracted by other things.
And we're talking actual association. Books of acharyas are not enough.
Books of acharyas. I mean, if somebody can take advantage that way, is there? That's just they like to read and they contemplate and all that. Then you could get a lot from that. That's why Prabhupada has us read. So we're reading, you know, from the books, right? From his books and from the acharya's books. But the principle is that there should be personal association where you actually see how it applies.
What about associations or internet or like
association? Online? How do you know who you're associating with? You think they're a fired up brahmachari and you find out that they're a 40-year-old female truck driver. You know, staunch brahmachari 108 is actually, you know, a cross dresser from San Francisco. You know, you know what I'm saying? So it's something you can add in, but it shouldn't. That's not your main diet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now he's got to figure out. All my friends are yeah. Now we have him worried.
Yeah, really.
Okay. So that means however one can gain association, but the traditional is that personal association, you know, is it has many advantages, right? Like that. You know, it's like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like in China, the devotee used to listening fast.
No, you do whatever you can. If it's available, see, it's like this. If it's available, you take advantage. If it's not available, then you get whatever you can. Right? Does that make sense? So if you're in a position where there are no devotees around, you know, you're up in, you know, how you say, northwest Mongolia, okay, then you listen to tapes, you know, and stuff like that, if you can get them. You know? Does that make sense? So if you have association, don't think, oh, I can listen to a class, I don't need to associate with the devotees. You associate with devotees, and then in other times you understand? Like that. So as if physical association is possible, you do that. If not, then you, whatever other medium that you is available. So it's all good, but you just, you know, because, see, the if you're talking to someone, they can judge what the mood is, what's happening, and all that. The class is good, but they can't judge you. Does that make sense? It's like that. So it says, okay, you're giving a class, you give the class according to the flavor that's there. Right? And so other people are listening, it's a different flavor. You might have spoken it differently. Like that. But it's not that it's not beneficial. Right? Transcendental subject matter is always beneficial. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's just like this. I give you 12 pills of spirulina, or I give you lunch. Lunch. Okay. There is no lunch. There is no lunch. There's nothing else to eat.
Spirulina.
Then the 12, then the spirulina. Huh? Okay. No, I'm talking about the ones that are the squash, so you don't really taste them. You know, the well-pressed ones. Yeah. Not powdered. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just you take. So it's all good. It's just a matter of there's more advantages. But at the same time, is this non-different? We're sitting here. We're associating with Srila Prabhupada, with Vidura, with Maitreya, with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with Baladev Vidyabhushan, you know, Jiva Goswami. We're actually getting their direct association by going through all this. you know. But at the same time, is to apply that, we do that in the association of devotees, so that it's understood, are we applying it properly? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not that if it's not physically present, it isn't real. No, we say it's real. It's just that you take advantage of what's there.
Yes.
What's the context?
The context is because you can think you are like good until you can mirror yourself in another person. Like you can think you're, oh, I'm such a good devotee, I'm having such a good servant. Yeah, of course you're good because you're never in this conflict situation.
No, are you taking it from, what's your point? Your point is that only by association you could advance, and so then the concept of not having association you couldn't? Or you're taking on, I'm doing fine on my own, why do I need others? The first one. That's why it's recommended this way. Because on our own we really can't. That's why in Kali Yuga the acharyas always establish missions. You don't hear of missions in the other ages.
Yes.
Right? You hear of Narad Muni's registered society? Or, you know. Does that make sense? You ever hear of them? No. So only in Kali Yuga you have organized institutions that to practice devotional life.
Yes.
Because in Kali Yuga, without that organization, then people aren't going to do it. Does that make sense? Do you hear of, you know, Caesar being a member of a club? I don't know how to pronounce his name in your language. He's the one that said, et tu, Brute. Ring a bell? Okay? Yes? Was he part of a club? Yeah, well, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, these Egyptian underground, you know, kind of clubs. No, it's mystic. Does that make sense? But as we see as time goes, people become more and more inclined to be part of clubs, because then in the club, everybody else is doing the same thing, so you're inspired to do it. Right? Does that make sense? If I, you know, give you a room and there's all kinds of exercise equipment in it and put you inside, you may or may not be inclined. But if you go to a room that's full of machines and all kinds of people there and they're all doing things and all trying to look good and each one thinks they look better than the other, then you get inspired. You understand? Does that make sense? You know? So that's the whole thing, is that something that you want to do seriously, people have a tendency to join a club. Right? So it's just the natural thing, because otherwise one's lazy. So then the Vaishnavs therefore establish you join a club, right? You know. Does that make sense? So these spiritual missions, you know, is a club in which you can join to then be inspired in devotional practice.
They say there is a person who has all this discipline. He doesn't need anyone else.
Generally, you don't hear much of those DC comic characters being too serious about devotional service. Also, it could be Marvel comics. Also, yeah. Either one.
So
doesn't make any sense. He was an Uttamadikari, so he's liberated. So it's not a problem that's not the consideration there. Does that make sense? Because the point is who is that disciplined and that in Kali Yuga? And why would you know that somebody's disciplined unless they're around to hear about it? Right? Napoleon was disciplined. But how do we know about it? Because he was always around people. Right? How do you actually say his name?
Napoleon.
Napoleon. Okay. Napoleon. Okay. Napoleon. Okay.
May practice.
Yeah, may practice. I have to get a few words in practice. Right? Okay. Vidura seizes the opportunity, the rare fortune of attaining Maitreya's association. Because how often do you bump into Maitreya Muni? It's not that you can, put a post out on the internet and ask if anybody knows where he is. Right?
Look him up on Facebook.
Look him up on Facebook, yeah. Verses 22-42. Vidura puts many questions to Maitreya Muni, infusing him further. Vidura next inquires about the further creation of the material world after the Virat Rup. He asks about the further increase of population in the universe, about the incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, about the Manus, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his magnanimous activities, the different sacrifices, the imperfections of the faultless atheists, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, how to offer respects to the forefathers, how the Lord can be satisfied, the disillusions, and who survives after the disillusions to serve the Lord while he is asleep. The disillusions and who actually survives. That's interesting. Who survives so they can serve him while he sleeps. Right? Yeah. 22-23. That's a good point. Because the Lord's always served by devotees, so then that means there must be someone there too. 22-37. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the last question as follows. At the time of this destruction, who serves the Supreme Lord while he is sleeping? Just as one serves the king by waving a chamra, who sleeps? This is the meaning Sridhar Swami gives to this verse. This implies that the bhakti of the associates of the Lord and the Lord's planet are eternal. It is said in the Kashi Kanda, Na chavante hi madbhakta mahatmyam pralaya padi. My devotees are not destroyed at the time of the final destruction of the universe. Jiva Goswami confirms in the Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 115 that since devotional service is eternal, it is manifested at all stages of the universe's manifestation. Devotional service is eternally manifest. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.36 in the words Sarvada, always. That devotional service is manifested during the middle period, when the universes are manifested, is confirmed in many passages of the Vedic literatures. The devotional service is present even during and after the four kinds of annihilations of the material universe, because right, because you had has the end of the end of the Manvantar, end of the day of Brahma, end of the life of Brahma. That's the total. And then you have the ones that are partial in between when the cycles of the yugas. This is described in the following questions spoken by Vidura. A question that affirms that the Lord is served even after the material universe is annihilated. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.37. Please describe how many disillusions there are for the elements of material nature, and who survives after the disillusions to serve the Lord while he is asleep. Vidura continues. What are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are the specific values in the knowledge of the Vedas? And what are the necessities for the spiritual master and his disciples? 38. Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 38 speaks about Vedic wisdom. The living entities are constitutionally servitors of the Lord, who can accept all kinds of service from everyone. It is clearly declared, Bhagavad Gita 5:29, that the Lord is the supreme enjoyer of the benefits of all sacrifices and penances, the proprietor of all that is manifested, and the friend of all living entities. That is his real identity. Therefore, when the living entity accepts his supreme proprietorship, accepts this supreme proprietorship of the Lord, and acts in that attitude, he resumes his real identity. Because that's the real identity of the Lord, so that one who accepts that, that becomes the real identity of the living entity. In order to elevate the living entity to the standard of knowledge, there is the necessity of spiritual association. The bona fide spiritual master desires that his disciples know the process of rendering transcendental service to the Lord. And the disciple also know that they have to learn about the eternal relationship between God and the living entity from a self-realized soul, right? Because we don't know. You learn something from somebody who knows, right? So this is not just a matter of just knowledge. This is a matter of realization, right? Someone who can function, because the spiritual life is not theoretical. It's real. So someone who's functioning in that platform, then hearing from them, then we get the benefit. Then we actually know. Right? That's why then the associates of the Lord from the spiritual world come here to give that association, so we know what to do.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, how do we know here? We have Vidura and Uddhava and these others that are coming, Narad Muni, that are coming down so that we can appreciate. Otherwise, how are we going to appreciate? Right? So they show. Because even in the spiritual world, since the spiritual world is unlimited and ever-expanding, that means the devotional service is also expanding. So that means the furtherance of devotional service and how to do more and more, then that is given to us by those who are on that platform. Right? Because Krishna is ever-expanding. His glories are ever-expanding. Radharani is the same. So from her, then those who are most qualified, then understand this. The Shakis, the Nitya Shakis, like this. We learn from them. Does that make sense? So that's always going to be going on. Not that, yeah, I got this. But it's like, you know, that was so one moment ago. You know, because it's changed. One moment later, Krishna's expanded.
Yes.
You know, it's saying, so it's an eternal principle. It's not just part of sadhana. Like Mayavadis, this is part of sadhana. But when you come to the perfectional stage, you don't need it, because on their concept, the perfectional stage is nothing anyway.
Yes.
Does that work? Yeah,
but Maharaj, it seems that all the liberated souls, when they
all the liberated
pure
souls,
devotees,
okay,
they when they receive a teaching, they don't forget.
Yes, because there's nothing to make them forget.
Yes.
You know, it's just like you tell the kid, clean up your room, right? They forget. Why? Because there's so many. Why? What do you mean, why? There's unlimited whys. Yeah, just walking into the room, they'll forget. Right? Because all the stuff is there. Hey, this. And then they start playing with that. Then mom goes, I thought you told you to clean up the room. So then that gets put away, okay? Then you go to pick something else up. Then you start playing with that. So. Yeah, so they're distracted by the external energy. Right, while the liberated soul isn't, so they never forget. Because the platform of the soul, then that's why it's recommended that we try to come to minimum the Madhyama platform as quickly as possible, but ideally the Uttama platform as quickly as possible. Because from there you don't forget, you're not conditioned. And then from there it'll be very easy to take advantage of the association of the eternal associates. And then come to the platform of prema, right? Does that make sense? Because what else is prominent? Right? For the Uttama platform, there's nothing else really prominent other than Krishna and devotional service and the devotees. On the Madhyama platform, that's there, but you still have your conditioning to deal with. Right? But on the neophyte platform, the conditioning is a very major aspect of their life. It's, you know, their identity, who they really are, everything. So as that lessens, right, that detachment comes, that knowledge comes, then the process gets more dynamic. That's the whole thing. So at every point, it gets quicker and quicker. Right? It's just like from the neophyte platform, it'll be slow. But once we get serious about the process, then it speeds up. When we get rid of anartas, it speeds up more. When we get a taste, more again, with attachment. Then we get to the platform of ecstasy. Then when we actually get to complete attachment to Krishna, then that speeds up. Then that point's like the quickest in the process. Then it's just just very close to prema. So it always has something that there's more. So from the madhya platform, it's one stable. So that's why it's more dynamic. But if you're regularly doing something, you get more out of it than if you're not. Right. So I'm doing devotional service on a regular basis, but I don't have taste. But still, I'll get more benefit than I don't have taste and I'm irregular. Right? So if I'm regular and then I get a taste, then it speeds up very quickly. Does that make sense? So that's why Nishtha is recommended, because that from that platform, it can dynamically move forward. Right? But it's getting a taste, that's where it becomes actually dynamic. Because that's the forerunner of bhava. You know, the actual ecstasy that's there, you're getting a taste of that. You know, in its natural form. You know, in its natural manifestation rather than just a partial manifestation like in the others. Is that what I'm saying? Okay. To disseminate transcendental knowledge, one must retire from mundane activities on the strength of enlightenment in knowledge in terms of Vedic wisdom. This is the sum and substance of all the questions in this verse. Right? So if you want to you practice it, that's one thing. You want to disseminate it, then one must retire from mundane activities on the strength of enlightenment. Right? Because by having that knowledge, it can't be that material activities are your prominence. Right? They can be your service, but they can't be what's prominent. Does that make sense? The householder has a house because he wants a house, he wants the whole scene in the house. Okay, that's prominent. But it's convenient for him to live in his house. He has all the stuff there, you know, all the arrangements. He can go do his service nicely from there. So it's a nice base for devotional service. Then you can disseminate transcendental knowledge. It's not so externally it doesn't look any different. But what's changed is the mentality. Like that. So that's the whole point. Indirect activities, if the point of being dealing with them is one's attachment, it'll be slower than if you're dealing with these simply because that's your conditioning, and that's what you have to use. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's just like I'm cooking because this is specifically what I want to be cooking. So I've made the arrangements to get these ingredients and worked hard for it. The other is I'm cooking whatever happens to be available. I go into the kitchen, you know, whatever's available, I figure out something nice to cook. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
Like that. It's mentality. You may end up with the same preparation. But the one that focuses on my accomplishing that, the other is that I'm cooking for Krishna.
You shouldn't get too lax with just whatever is in the kitchen, you know.
Well, no, because then the problem is then you'll use up, and then after a few days there'll be nothing in the kitchen.
Beans again.
So, yeah, well, even at that point, that's gone. So you're going to have, how do you say, sautéed air in a air sauce with the side of air.
Fried water.
Yes. Oh, that's what you have water. Hey, yeah, good.
Okay. Sunday feast.
Okay.
So Maharaj, this difference is between Kanishtha and Madhyam.
Basically, yes. It's just a switch in mentality from Sakam to Nishkam. The form doesn't have to change. As we discussed, we discussed it here, right? About it may change because you see that there are elements within your indirect activities that aren't actually necessary. It is just like this. You're staying in a house, okay? And there's a mortgage on the house. Do you have to pay the mortgage? Yes. I mean, so if the house is important for your service, you pay the mortgage. If it's not, you don't. You know, and then those funny little guys in their suits will come driving up in their, you know, Ford Fairlane and take it away. Right? Does that make sense? But point of it's necessary. But there may be all kinds of things that are not necessary. You know, all the little, you know, gnomes on your front lawn that are such a trouble to pick up and move every time you have to mow and all that. You may not need them. You know, so you put them out, you know, you have a garage sale or give it to your neighbor or, you know, something like that. So, in other words, things that are useful in your service and for supporting the service, you keep. Those things that are not, you get rid of. Right? If it's neutral, it's not a problem, it's there, you leave it. But when it breaks, you don't get a new one, right? But if it's not favorable, it's only there because of your own attachments, then that you get rid of it as soon as you can. Next, Vidura states that the cause of knowledge is not academic study of the Vedas, but rather the association of the devotees. Right? So, but what is it that you do in the association of devotees? You discuss about Krishna. So that's the real cause of knowledge. Because if you study, then just on your own, you may or may not catch the meanings. But when you, it's just like we read the translation. We may or may not catch the meaning, but when we read the purport, then we get an understanding.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole thing. Yeah. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, now Maitreya asked, why have you posed so many questions? Right. So he's making it very clear what's going on here in this process. Is that all these questions are there, but the real point is association of the devotees. And without that, all this knowledge will have no meaning. Right? You can only perfect your life if you have proper knowledge. But you get that knowledge from devotees. And you can only use that knowledge by associating with devotees. Right? So in that association, then you find you get benefit. Does that make sense? So that's why Prabhupada arranged that there's regular association on a daily basis. You know, the temple has programs. Now, if you can, you know, arrange programs at your own place, you do. If you can't go to the temple. But if not, there is a place that is regularly going on. So that association can always be appreciated. Okay, Vidura answers in verse 40. My dear sage, I have put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the friend of all, so kindly describe them for all those who have lost their vision. Right? Because okay, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur clarifies Vidura's intent. Please answer these questions, ask only with a desire to know about the pastimes of the Lord and service to Him. Right? In other words, he has all these interests of these questions, but only in connection with the Lord.
Yes.
Because he's heard, actually, all these points.
Yes.
You know, in their kind of more generic form. You know, the various Puranic forms in this.
Yes.
Now he wants to hear them just in connection with the Lord.
Yes.
Right? So that's the point. Because otherwise, what's the purpose of this? So that by knowing that, then you know best how to answer. So his questions are actually for pure devotional service in the association of the Vaishnavas. So in that context, then Maitreya can answer the questions. When all these questions are answered, I will have complete concentration on the Lord's service with indifference to all else. Because he asks about everything. right? The primary and the secondary creation and the whole devotional process. You know, it's just like a person comes up and I just have a simple question, short question. You know, what's devotional service? You know, like that. Can you explain the devotional services, practices, and it's like that, you know. So. Yeah. When I have my full attention on the Lord, then I can attain Him. Because the Lord is only attained by someone who's always focused on the Lord. Because the Lord's always with you as Paramatma. But that personal interaction only happens when we're always absorbed. Because for Krishna, He does things eternally. Right? Seems to be one of His habits. Right? So if you're functioning on the eternal platform, then He can reciprocate. Right? Because otherwise, if you're functioning on the material platform, the temporary platform, what's Krishna's connection to the material energy? But what is His actual connection?
None.
Right? His energies then transform as the whole material phenomenon. So if you're interacting on the temporary platform, you have no connection with Him. So as soon as you're interacting on this transcendental platform, then He can interact. And for a relationship, you want that to be stable, steady. Because that's what He does, eternally. So when it comes to that fixed position, that's when it becomes serious. Right? So when full attention is on the Lord, they are not going to be distracted by anything else. Now, all these other things are going on in the world. So if you know how the Lord is connected with all those things, your attention is always fully on the Lord, never distracted.
Yes.
We're distracted, excuse me, because we see a difference between my daily life and my devotional life. Right?
Yes.
So the direct activities of devotional service, I will label that as devotional service. All the indirect activities, that's just my life.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So, when all those indirect things are seen in connection with the Lord, like my Vidura is asking, then that means all the indirect is connected also. So one's attention is fully on the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. So we've heard about the universal form from Sukadev Goswami. Right? But then it's just there's the universal form, but we can also keep that separate from ourselves and separate from the Lord. Yes. I mean, if you ask, eventually, yes, we will connect it.
Yes.
But like you can see, sometimes when we go through the exercise, okay, what's that, and then what's behind? And it sometimes takes 10 steps before we get to Krishna, only because we run out of other answers. Basically. Well, there's nothing else, so I guess you'd have to say Krishna. Right? You know, otherwise, we, you know, more fertile brain, you keep on going, right? You know, so that's how the, you know, yeah. And so then, but the whole point is it should be just one step.
Yes.
You know? That's why it's indirect. It's not directly the Lord. Right? It's the Lord, but there's the step to get to it. Why is the Lord come as the material manifestation?
We wanted to enjoy separately.
Okay. And then, okay. Okay. Then, but, and so, just as soon as we wanted to enjoy separately, this whole material world just appeared. And then we said, now, that's like it. Yeah, I like this.
No. He interacted.
He interacted. Why did he interact?
Because that's what he wants.
What is it that actually he wants? He wants us back. Why does he want us back? Because, you know, that's obvious.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't get the question.
You don't get the question.
That's why.
You get the question? We discussed it once. It had to do with our discussion on the on this aspect of the Ichashakti. He thought himself incomplete. Though he's always complete. But so what's the base? How does Krishna consider completeness? So it's not just being everything that makes completeness. Just like I have the house, I have my money, I have my car, I have my everything. Am I complete?
Yes.
You're just there alone. There's no one else on the planet. Right? No traffic on the highway. Think of that. You could take your Ferrari and go flat out. No one will ever know. Yeah. Problem is when the tires wear out, who's going to change them? Yeah, that's it. You understand? So the point is it's the association of the pure devotees that pleases them so much that he wants to increase that by including the living entities that have turned away from him. So that's the original. You know, or you could even go back, is that he is complete in himself. But he expands his energies to interact and that taste. And having expanded them, that taste he gets interacting with the pure devotee is so great that he wants to increase that. Yes. So the living entities that haven't taken it up, then naturally he feels incomplete because they're not part of this. So therefore then you have the material manifestation. Right? That's actually then at that point, why are we here? Why are we one of the chosen few? You know, why are we in that, you know, that bottom 10%? You know, because we chose to try to enjoy separately from Krishna.
We are in the...
So that's where we fit in to the equation. Does that make sense? So you have a few steps before we...
We're in the top of the bottom.
The top of the bottom means?
We're in Mayapur.
Oh, I see. Okay. Of those in the bottom 10%, we're in the top of that. Yes, okay. Yes, you could say that.
Silver lining.
Yeah, probably. Top of something. Yes. Yes.
When you speak about the absolute truth, means Krishna as a person plus Krishna.
It means Krishna as a person. It means, because Krishna as a person means the devotees, but it also means Krishna as Paramatma. It means Krishna as Brahma. So that's the complete absolute truth. Of that, the primary element is the personal Bhagavan. That means devotees. Because otherwise, all these three together, not being manifest separately, then that's just him as Atmarama. Yeah, but as he expands, then that naturally means Bhagavan means devotees. Like that. So there's not a step in between. You know? You know, he manifests his fabulous form, he dressed himself up and all that, he got out his flute and then looked around, there was no one there. It's like, what's missing? Something's missing. You know? And then he said, ah, devotees. And then, you know, it's simultaneous, you know? Yes, because he reciprocates according to how someone surrenders. So that means there's always been those devotees that surrender in affection. And he's always reciprocated that. And as we said, then you need a place. Therefore the Dham. You need to manage that. Therefore the Kriya Shakti. Right? So all these different aspects come up and then it all works. Okay. In conclusion, Vidurik declares that the answers... Vidurik declares that the answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such clarity, such charity is greater than all Vedic charity, sacrifices, penances, etc. Right? Because you can get so many things else, and those will be nice, but then tomorrow... they're not there. Okay, you gave out mosquito nets. Great. Right? But then the problem is that after a year, the mosquito net gets a hole in it. You know?
Yes.
Stuff like that. Or you feed them, and, you know, the next day they're hungry. You clothe them, then after some months, then that wears out. Right? So that's always the problem, is whatever you can give in the material world, all these charities, no matter how special they are, the sacrifices, the penances, they're all temporary. But if you get answers in Krishna consciousness, you are able to practice Krishna consciousness. Now that is the greatest charity. So one always has to keep that in mind. Then you bring in the aspect of these other charities. Right? So food, like you're distributing prasad. The point is that it's prasadam. That's the real benefit. And then at the same time, the person who's hungry, that gets taken care of. But if we focus just on the feeding hungry people, the problem is they're hungry again tomorrow. And how many did you feed? You know, 300? right? We got some, you know, charities that they do 100,000 or 300,000 in a day. But the problem is the next day they hunger again. Right? So it's done and then drops. It's done and drops. That's a temporary. But spiritual, it's done, but then it increases. Right? I add one meal, but by tomorrow it's zero. But I add one aspect of understanding of devotional service, that remains as one. When I give a second one, now I have two. Right? So that's the problem, is the material never gets really past zero. Right? You know, there's a temporary moment where it's looking good, but then back to zero. Maitreya, who was also enthusiastic about describing topics regarding the personality of Godhead rather than just discussing Vedic knowledge, began to narrate the descriptive explanation of the Puranas, being so infused by Vidura. Right? So these descriptive explanation. So Vidura's heard all these descriptions, but he wants it in connection with the Lord. As soon as you add the Lord, it becomes a lot more developed.
Yes.
So there's more complication in the aspect, because now you're adding in a person and their desire.
Yes.
Right? The other way, we can accommodate, okay, we're a person and it's our desire.
Yes.
You know, we're practiced at that. Now the concept of someone else is a person and someone else is the desire, now that's starting to stretch it, let alone the supreme person, supreme desire right now. He was very much enlivened by speaking on the transcendental activities of the Lord. So this is very nice. One, if somebody asks good questions, they're intelligent, they'll use it properly, one's inspired. But now we see it's coming to the next stage, is that it's connected to the Lord. And Maitreya has heard directly from the Lord. And what did he hear? The discussions between Krishna and Uddhava, which are on a very elevated platform, as we'll learn from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that is just basically below Vrindavan. Right? So you're talking about something very elevated here. You know, because why? It's not specifically the knowledge as such of the facts, but it's that those facts are in connection with the Lord as a person. Not as the Lord as Paramatma, not as the Lord as Brahman, but Lord as a person. So that's what's special. Yes? Okay, so then.